difficult thing that I have ever experienced in prophecy is not the pattern, not the things that are going to happen in the order that they're going to happen in. From the first time I ever looked at prophecy and had a halfway decent understanding in it, I have always not known exactly when. But all the things began to move into place when I was a teenager. And by the time I had finished my tour in North Africa and the Holy Land and had gotten to know the people and had studied the culture of the land and had studied in a seminary about what the seminary was like and what their opinion was of prophecy, I got the pattern. It was there. It was in the Word. It was could not be denied. But God fixed it in such a way that you can't tell exactly when. But there are many instances in there that let you know that you may not know when, but you can certainly tell when it's drawing nigh. It's been drawing nigh for a long time. And it is now on the verge of beginning the horrible things that are in the book of Revelation. I won't lie to you, I'd like to know exactly when the Antichrist is going to attack Israel. Certain it will happen, because the scripture definitely says it will, and it even tells you how it would start with the king of the south pushing toward the north, and then the king of the north, and I know where he's coming from. He's coming from greater Syria, and if you just said Syria, I'd say amen. It's there, it's real, it's going to happen. The things that are happening right now are things that make me certain, not guessing, but certain, that this thing is on our doorstep, and I am very confident that he will not attack Israel until after the Antichrist arises. Might as well just call it Syria. And I don't think he's going to be the leader of the current caliphate. I don't think he's going to be I don't think he'll be that man. I don't believe he'll be Bashar Assad. But I do believe he's probably alive. Well, I'm sure he's alive right now. And I'm sure that somewhere he's inside that diagram on the back of number 4, in the black horse, just the black horse part. Actually, Greater Syria covered all the way out to the white for a long time. And so did Assyria. So the black horse now, he's somewhere in there. I suspect in northern Iraq or in the black area, which is modern-day Syria. And I believe that he will eventually withdraw completely into Syria, leave some puppets behind in northern Iraq, and he will consolidate his power. He's not a fool. He knows he can't defeat Israel right now. And the firepower that the United States has and Israel has is going to cause him to be certain that Israel starts it. And to be certain that there will be a great deal of hesitancy on the part of the United States and the free will nations to do anything about it, because we will have the impression that the king of the south, Israel, started it. Now, that's clearly what it indicates in Daniel chapter 11 and verse 40. Now, in the book I wrote, Tribulation Triad, and if you've got one at home, just look in the chapter 11, and you will find what I'm presenting here is almost an identical layover of what's happening there right now. When I wrote that, I only had the Bible to go on. I looked up every word in it. I did everything I was supposed to do. And so what I'm giving you tonight, I consider to be the straight skinny, and it's based on the Bible. That wicked is waiting in the wings of prophecy to initiate the final religious war of the Gentile age. Do you know there are still some people that do not realize this is a religious war? They do not realize that basically it is a war that will be initiated by the Assyrian. And this has always been a religious war between the descendants of Ishmael and the descendants of Abraham through Keturah. That's who he's up against. This is not a war for land. This is a religious war, and it is one that has infiltrated the hearts of Islam, and they are not going to stop. It's going to happen. And so what am I mainly concerned about? Well, I'm concerned for everybody that's lost, but I'm like the general that Chuck talked about. I just sit over there and put it out. And I can't go on tours anymore. I used to go on tours when I could, but I can't do that anymore. Now, I've taught for 40 years, that Revelation 6 was a preview of the rest of the tribulation period from seal 7 through the 7 trumpets and 7 vials. The first 5 seals were the beginning of sorrows. I taught that in the first book I ever wrote. I taught they would intensify into the tribulation period, which they are doing right now. They would intensify into the tribulation period, which began as seal 6 was opened. I believe seal 6 will open at a point in time after Obama leaves office. Down deep inside, I feel like it won't be too long a period after that. But I just said after Obama leaves office, because I don't know the exact time period. It will be during the next administration that follows him. Seals 4 and 5. Now, I'm not telling you, hey, look, I'm right. I put it in my book. Lord, you know that. But sometimes I wonder if they do. Seals 4 and 5 are now open that we are waiting for that wicked. And brother, he's coming. But he's not going to come in as wicked. You can take all the prophecies in the Bible that have to do with the Antichrist, and you will discover that he is a very intelligent man, and that he comes in like a lamb, but once he's in and consolidates his power, then the devil comes down from heaven and possesses him. And that wicked is going to be the most wicked man who ever lived on this earth. And if you think that this death toll over there now and beheadings that are occurring is bad, it's intensifying at the end of the beginning of sorrows. It's intensifying on the pale horse rider. But when seal 6 begins, it's going to be the most brutal thing you've ever seen on this earth, and it's going to scare Christians half to death. Seals 4 and 5 are now open and waiting for that wicked to initiate the final religious war of the age of the Gentiles, which will end some 3.5 years later. I say some 3.5 years later. I know it's going to be more than 3, and I know it's going to be less than 4, but I don't know exactly when in that time period. We'll end some 3.5 years later at the final battle of Armageddon. I still hold to that archive update diagram 321, that I put up in December of 2009. I finally came to that conclusion based on the Bible scriptures and based on what had happened and what was happening. The final battle will be ended by the second advent of Christ. He'll come and he'll end it. Am I certain of everything I said? Yes. You say, well, just because you said it doesn't make it so. The Bible says it. So argue with the Bible. This is where we are now in prophecy. Right now, as I'm presenting this, you can either accept it or you can deny it. But this is where we are. Revelation 6, 8 through 11. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. Hell is about to follow with him. And death is now putting many more souls under the throne in heaven and many souls in hell because they aren't really Christians, they aren't really believers, and most of them aren't much of anything. And power was given to him over the fourth part of the earth. That word geis, which is used for earth, does not appear anywhere indicating a fourth part of the world's population. It is a fourth part of the earth. That is one of the reasons that I have constantly tried to convince people that the Lord does use hyperbole and that he uses them quite frequently, and it is not a lie. So if you say, well, I believe just what the Bible says, nothing else, you better start realizing what the Lord uses as hyperbole, because very few people even understand it or believe it. How are they going to die? How are they dying right now? To kill with a sword? Red Horse Rider is still around. He's still killing people. The White House Rider is gone. And with hunger, famine is now around. I guarantee you it's going to get worse. What always follows any type of a war like we're fighting over there now? We say it's not a war. It is a war. But you ain't seen nothing yet. Hunger, famine, Black Horse Rider. He hasn't left. He's going to get a whole lot worse. And with death, you say, well, we got rid of AIDS. No, you didn't get rid of AIDS. It's still here. You say, well, we'll get rid of Ebola. Will we? Okay. For how long? You say, well, they'll find a cure for it. They may find something they can take that will save some lives by it. But I told you they'd never find a cure for AIDS, and some people said, well, now they have. That's not true. So quit using your own intellect to figure things out and your own opinions and call them biblical. And with the beasts of the earth, I often wonder about that. I'm not sure which one it was. Is it the beast that make up the seven great empires that passed all their ungodly heresies over to us? They're still here, you know. They've been defeated. Or is it the buzzards that actually sweep up the remains on the hills of Samaria and the hills of Israel? You say, well, believe what the Bible says. Folks, you can't just do it without thinking. And you've got to interpret the scriptures. And when you interpret them, sometimes, believe it or not, you discover you're wrong. I speak from a great deal of experience that other people need to learn also. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. That's why they were slain. I think this represents all the slain of all the ages that were slain for the testimony of the word of God, which they held, and were martyred. I know people are going to be here after all this tribulation starts when seal 6 is open, because he says, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, oh, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. Don't sit there and try to figure out what I'm teaching wrong. Try to figure out why I teach what's wrong, what I do. And it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season. Well, the general is the general, and he's telling you the way it is. And sometimes you have to do that, because it's the only way some people will ever understand what you're trying to teach them. They should rest for a little season. How long is that little season? I don't know, but they're going to be here in the tribulation period, and there's a rapture that occurs on the seventh trumpet, so maybe that's the little season. Notice I said maybe. I don't want to know what a little season is. I do not want to know. I do not want to know the exact time of the rapture. It would negate my faith in God, because I could go ahead and do whatever I wanted and know that I was right and that nothing was going to happen, and I could always repent at the last minute. That's the attitude of most of the general public right now. Until their fellowship servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. They're going to be here. You're going to be here. The question is not what the Bible says I believe. The question is, how do you interpret what you believe? This is where we are going in prophecy. Revelation 6, 12 through 17. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is taken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. This is the initial movement. This is the beginning of the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. About 3.5 years. More than three. Less than four. Now you want to see the wrath of God? And the different word is used down here, but this is the last part of the tribulation down here. These are the vials of wrath. Here they go. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Now, here we go. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Who? How about the archangel Michael? He'll be able to stand up then, because the seven trumpet rapture will have occurred and he will stand up. And when he stands up, he will bring a living remnant of Jews through the tribulation period. You don't believe that? Okay. Wait and see. Saved to be caught up before seven vials, seven wrath vials. Revelation 11, 15 and 18. And the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven, saying, the kings of this world have become the kings of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That's the millennial reign. Well, what's happening back on earth while they're being judged in heaven? And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give rewards unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great. Is he going to destroy the remnant? Absolutely not. Is he going to bring through a physical remnant? Absolutely. Will it be the 144,000? They will have been raptured on the seventh trumpet. He's going to bring forth a remnant of Jews that will believe in the Negev wilderness. They have been driven there. They have been surrounded. They have had a peace treaty, a hudna, for more than 3 years. And all of a sudden, the Antichrist breaks it. When he breaks it, the saints go up, the saved go up, and the devil comes down. And the wicked one then attempts to destroy all those that are left on the earth. But Michael will not let him destroy the Jewish remnant in the Negev. But some of the people in the Gentile ranks will actually be coming down there. How does God allow them to come through? I can't answer that question. But I cannot deny Isaiah 61, where they're all bringing back Jews in every type of transportation available, because the whole world has seen the light of the coming of the second advent. And they will rush those Jews down there from everywhere. And they will also be Gentiles themselves that will be preserved. Who will they be? Perhaps those that had just reached the age of accountability at the time the rapture occurred. I don't know. But I do know it's going to happen, and I'll be the same way about the Scripture. Because the Bible says it will happen, and I know it will happen. I'm not somebody that has to understand exactly everything. Never was that way. I'm a man whom God called into ministry to do a job, to do an assignment. I am a God-called pastor of a missionary Baptist church. Make no mistake about it. Don't underrate me. Don't overrate me. That's exactly what I am. You say, are you average? I never thought about it. I used to think I was somebody. Now I think I'm an unprofitable servant. And I know I am. I'm not somewhere in between. I'm nothing but a bondservant, bought and paid for with the blood of Christ. Any one of you that claim to be preachers or deacons or anything else, you are blood-bought bondservants of Jesus Christ. You work for Him. You don't work for me. I don't criticize you. You shouldn't criticize me. If you think I'm not preaching the truth, quit telling everybody else about it. And pray for me. For if I am, I surely need your prayers. But make no mistake, I know exactly who I am and what I am supposed to do. And I have done, am doing, and shall continue to do it if nobody else loves me except Jesus Christ. He says, and I did take my medicine this morning. I did take it last night. I've taken it every day. Inside where I live, I'm as cool as a cucumber. I really am. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. So all this flack I've been giving you, surely you ought to be able to take it, because you are not a burden at all to me. You say, well, you're lying. See what I'm talking about? But I know who I am, and I know what I'm supposed to do, and I know I've done what I was supposed to do as best I could up until now. I'm ready to go home. If God lets me, I'm more than willing. And you can see just how spiritually sound you are. After I'm gone, if you all hold together and love the man you call the pastor, then we'll find out if he's got any calling from God or not. He says, and then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spilling of his mouth and destroy him with the brightness of his coming. He's going to throw the wicked one and his false prophet into a lake of fire. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and lying and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth. I will say one thing. I don't care who you are. I would highly recommend that you take that love of the truth and apply it to yourself. I have to do that because I'm your pastor. And because that's what God demands of me. And quite frankly, I've even learned to do it. He says, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Did you see that thing on television about this young boy that has been caught with a two-way ticket? They picked him up before he went over there. He's wearing a Muslim dress and got a thing, a beard on him. He went to the same mosque that this fellow there saying he just was he's not a real Muslim, they say, the one that was in this other mosque. It was in the same mosque. And they say, well, it's just a criminal act. That's a lie. Furthermore, this one, when they brought him into court, he stood up there and said, and they were talking about this, what are we going to do? He said, I wanted to go there and to join ISIS. And he said, I wanted to be a part of ISIS. And he said, I wanted to help ISIS. If they wanted me to kill people, I wanted to kill people. He believes that. He's very adamant about it. He's told it to the judge. How are they going to call that a hate crime? They said, well, he was just a little delusional. Folks, I know the Muslim faith. I know what the liberal ones believe. And I want to tell you, they'll switch in a minute to the most extreme if they want, if they think they can get on the winning side when all this starts. The moderates will do the same. I guarantee it. Our government does not understand anything about what's going over there. And I believe that not because I watch Fox News, but because I listen to all the channels and see what they're reporting now, and they are finally discovering who Obama really is. But I don't think Obama believes any of this stuff. I don't think he's much of anything. He's our president. That's something. Now, notice how he ends this, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. How is he going to destroy them? Well, he could do like he's going to do at the end of the heaven age. God could send direct fire from his body, out of his mouth. He could speak it and it would happen. Are you positive of that? Absolutely. He could do it any way he wanted. But if you're going to interpret this, you're going to have to look at it and ask yourself, why is Obama in office? And you're going to have to speculate some. And it's okay if you tell the people you're teaching this is speculation. I can't tell everything I teach and say, this is the Bible, like I'm some supreme interpreter. I can't do that. But what I can do is tell you that when that wicked is revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him who is coming after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of righteousness, them that perish, because they receive not the love of truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God could send them strong delusion. What is the strong delusion? Now this is an interpretation, but I'll die believing it. God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. That young man believes an absolute lie. That they might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's where the followers of Islam are going. They're going to be damned. Why? Revelation 17:17. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and to give their kingdom until the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. So why am I putting so much emphasis on this? Why am I speaking loudly? Why am I using my hands? Is it a put on? No, this is the way I feel about this, because I know it's true and I know what's going to happen, and most of the world sits out there and has no idea whatsoever about what is coming on us. Well, you say, well, you can't do anything about that, Brother Michael Murray. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. So what am I? I'm nothing but an old general who went through two wars, that's sitting over there at a computer trying to send out as much as I possibly can to tell people about it. I am the pastor of this church because God appointed me to be pastor of this church. I did not want to come here. And Chuck expressed it the way that you're supposed to know how you're called. Well, I never had much of that. I just knew that this is where God wanted me. And it came. I don't know exactly what God thinks of me, but I know what I think of him. And I know he loves me no matter what I think of him. My life is pretty easy. Was it always a light burden and a light load? Was it always a heavy burden and a light load? Was it always? No. As I've told you before, I had a hard time pastoring you. It wasn't your fault. It was my fault. But I like to have an excuse for everything. Nobody ever taught me what I'm teaching you. Nobody ever did. I put it in the last chapter of my book, and I thought they were going to, Tribulation Triad, chapter 11, and I thought they were going to run me out of the seminary. They said, nobody's ever taught that. I said, well, have you ever known a missionary Baptist synoptic analyst who God called to preach? Well, no. I said, well, tell me what's wrong with it. Well, he said, if we publish that, he said, we're not saying it's wrong. I talked to several of the teachers about it. We're not saying it's wrong. We just know that it'll cause a lot of trouble. I've been in trouble in two wars. That's one of the reasons God called me. I didn't know that then. I didn't know he put me in the agency up there. But I know it now. I didn't know a lot of things. But you know what I enjoy more learning than anything else? Who Jesus is. And I don't have a heavy burden anymore. I have a light load. So you used to, when I would do that, you'd think, well, he's mad again. Must have got off his medicine. Don't tell me you never thought that. Don't tell me you never said it to anybody. It wasn't true. And I knew that. It got back to me. Everything gets back to me. Everything. I don't care who you are. Everything you say gets back to me. And the people that pass it back to me are pretty reliable. Used to hurt a lot. But I finally realized God's my friend. And I just turn everything over to him. So, if you start talking about me and telling people you don't like this, you don't like that, I'm just going to turn you over to the Lord. You say, well, he may kill you. Well, if he does, I deserve it. You say, well, are you a son of thunder? Do you want God to call down the wrath on him? Absolutely not. He knows how to handle anybody like that. He knows how to handle me. So I just turn it over to God. You say, you mean you really turn it over? Yeah. And I walk away with a light load and an easy burden. Right now, I'm perfectly calm. I was deliberately loud for a reason. Have you got the point now? Do you understand now? Is it going to have any effect on you at all? Luke 21, 24, 33. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. That was fulfilled in A.D. 70. That was fulfilled in A.D. 70. I guarantee it. I've got some of the greatest scholars in the Missionary Baptist work that will swear to that. And I don't believe just because they do. It was fulfilled. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles. Do you know that the Temple Mount has never been back under the control of Israel except for about 1 month under the Emperor Julian, and they didn't do a thing with it? Well, how long is it going to be trodden down? Well, right now, it's under Arabic control. If you went over there with me at one time when I took them all out there in the pitch dark at night and they were all sleeping up on the top, well, that's why I took them over there. And I said, and when they and the guards started shouting on the top, they're not allowed to carry guns. Then we ran for the devil, and then when we got back out in the street, we were all winded. I said, breathe light. And boy, pretty soon here come a bunch of Israeli troops, and they stormed by us going down there looking for those people that were causing a ruckus. You say, well, you shouldn't have done that. Well, see, you're already judging me, looking down your long pointed nose and saying, you shouldn't have done that. Well, don't worry. You won't be the first one that ever told me that. Until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. They haven't been fulfilled yet. But they're about to be. Now, notice these are consecutive scriptures. What's going to happen when they do? And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Oh, well, now, wait a minute up here. Wait a minute. We haven't seen any signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. Why do you think Luke put it on his beginning of sorrows, but Matthew and Mark did not? Because the beginning of sorrows, neither Matthew or Mark include them as the beginning of sorrows. But Luke added this one on. And that is exactly what is going to happen when seal 6 is open. Check it out for yourself. Now, if you're going to study the Bible, if you're going to preach the Bible, if you're going to teach the Bible, you better learn to coordinate all the scriptures, or you'll find yourself looking like a blooming idiot. Believe me, I have looked that way. And there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the earth, and upon earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Folks, that's when that sixth seal opens. But it's really later on, if you want to know the truth, when we get real close to the beginning of the vials. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then they shall see the Son of Man coming with power and great glory. And when you see these things begin to come to pass, good grief, we've already seen the seals open, and 6 is about ready to open. Then lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake unto them a parable. Behold the fig tree. That's Israel. And all the trees, the Gentile trees too. Because their time is about to end. When they now shoot forth and know of your own selves that summer is nigh at hand. Nigh. Soon. Near. It's finally that way. Because the beginning of sorrows, we're in it right now, and it's getting worse. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. What did Jesus preach? Well, what did John preach? He said, repent ye, for the kingdom of God is the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's in the very first chapter of John. All of a sudden, in verse 4, it says that as soon as Jesus heard that John had been cast into the prison, he went forth into Galilee preaching, but repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Matthew always used heaven and as an interpretation for that word. Now, if you're going to teach interpreting scripture, you're going to have to look at the words. And that's the main reason I asked Tommy Brown if he would teach it, because he's very, very good at it. He says, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees, when they shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now past. Know ye that the kingdom of God is at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation, way back yonder in the last century, I had a choice to make on what that word generation, which one to use. I didn't know which one to use. I chose to use the word that has to do with a 40-year generation. I was wrong. So when we got into this century, I suddenly realized I made a mistake. Matter of fact, a preacher out in California told me I was wrong about that 40-year generation. But it was there, and I can show it to you. It's also in there in the same thing I looked. I'll show you in a moment what it means. Shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Well, I should have used the first one. It fit a whole lot better. But when it comes to teaching the Bible, I told people it could mean the other at that time. But I told them which one I was going with. Sometimes you just don't know which one to pick. Unless you've got some super mentality or God speaks to you directly. The generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. He says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. That's absolutely correct. I was called to teach and to preach the word of God. To do that, first of all, I have to be honest about it. And secondly, I shouldn't force my opinion on it and then rear back and say, that's what God's word says. I grew up in that. I hate it. I grew up in it. I sat there and listened. Didn't know any better. I have always pointed out to you, if it was something that was not certain, I did with this. I chose the wrong meaning. I told you when I did some time ago. Now, there are a lot of people that are a lot smarter than I am, and that's no big deal. And Bullinger is a lot smarter than I ever was, and if anybody was ever neutral, Bullinger is. In the Old Testament, it means this is from Bullinger. You can look it up to see if I've told you the truth or lied. So if you think I've lied to you, get your Bullinger out and take a look at it when you get home. You will. In the Old Testament, it means those who are not of Israel. And in the New Testament, it means those who are neither of Israel nor of the church. Bullinger. Now, I'll show you where he got it. 1 Corinthians 10:32. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. When I was had been here about 20 years, I thought I was pretty smart. Young preachers always think they're smarter than the pastor. After a while, that's just normal. They may be. They may be. But if the pastor doesn't tell them about it, they're never going to mount a hill of beans. Generation denotes an age or generation from the point of race. That's what Bullinger says. Denotes an age or generation from the point of race. That's Israel. In AD 70, they were carried into captivity all over the world, all over the old world. Now they're about to rejoin. Now you can either do something with this or get mad as a wet hen. It's up to you. But we now live in the generation that will end the age of the Gentiles. And this black horse is a lot more significant than most people realize, because we're headed for it. Maybe some of the people with the teachings that come out of this church and the other churches, pastors of other churches, preachers in other churches, maybe this will help.